This is File 26, Cycle 3. Today's date is March 14th, 2018. I am interviewing Alex Harney of the Harney Fine Tea Company. He's going to talk about joining the company, what he's done with the company, tea tasting, tea blending, and anything else he wants to talk about as long as it relates to tea. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
My name is Alexander Harney.
And what is your birth date?
I was born in May 28th, 1984.
And where were you born?
I was born in Chicago, Illinois.
And your parents' names?
Brigitte and Michael.
And you have siblings?
Yes, I have two younger brothers, Emmerich and Bertram, in that order.
And when did you come to this area?
We moved here in 1989.
Why?
My father was to join, was taking a risk and joining my grandfather in the tea venture.
When did you first start doing something for the tea company as a little child?
My first memory was blending tea with my grandfather. It had to have been when they bought the house on 11 East Main Street, because that's really where my first memories of the tea company really were. I mean, I have some vague memories of the other location on Yonder Way, but...
But it was really Main Street.
Yeah, 11 East Main Street was where most of my memories were, and I had to have been six or seven, mm-hmm. And we were blending Earl Grey, and we were soaking the cotton balls with bergamot oil and layering them down, and then at some point later we'd have to take them out again.
That's not the way you do it now, though, is it?
That is definitely not the way we do it now.
How do you do it now?
The way we do it now is we still use the bergamot oil, and I think we still, well, for a very long time, we still use the same supplier of bergamot oil as my grandfather used when he first started the company, because they just made the best. But we still use bergamot oil, and now it's either sprayed manually or through the bigger machine, depending on the size of the batch. But it's pretty much as sprayed as the tea is spun around in almost like a washing machine.
A washing machine, okay.
Or a dryer would be more apt.
When did you start helping your mother at Brook Street in the retail shop?
I would say I started probably around when I was 12.
Yeah, that's about the right age.
Yeah.
And what did you actually do?
We did tastings. And we sold tea and as well as tea accessories. That was most of what I did. I also did some maintenance stuff out there.
Yep.
On that riverbank, I actually weed whacked and found out that a lot of that stuff was concrete.
Ooh.
The hard way. I learned a lot of things the hard way.
Well, sometimes that's the best way.
Yeah.
You said that you were not an expert at gift wrapping.
I was not, and I am still not.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So I would do pretty much everything at the store except for gift wrap. That I would always have to pass off. I just never got the gift.
At the store on Brook Street, did you serve food with the tea or not?
We did not serve tea. We did not serve food with the tea, primarily because of space. And we always used to have samples of our scone mix out there.
I see. Okay.
But that's where the first dream of it always started. We've talked about it, mm-hmm. but we never really were able to follow through.
Until later. Explain tea tasting.
So, like at the store?
At the store.
Because still,
and then we'll get to individual.
Okay. So at the store, tea tasting, you're allowed to go in, and at the time, it was pretty much unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
How many teas you wanted to try until you found one that you liked.
Yeah.
But the idea was that you would try before you buy and make sure...
You liked it.
You did like what you were going to take home. And that was always important. And we were one of the first places to really offer that for free to the
mm-hmm.
customer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we would do, the customer would come up, they'd say, we'd kind of like narrow down what they really were into or mm-hmm. what they wanted to try. Mm-hmm. And then we would make recommendations and then we'd try one or two of them. Where you would just take a tea scoop and you'd brew it up for them and then you'd cup it for them and then they would try it.
Not all teas are brewed the same length of time.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. Now, when you're tasting tea as perhaps a new tea or a blended tea, as a tea taster.
It's a tea taster.
That's different.
It's a little different. It's a little stronger.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's brewed a little stronger just so you... the traditional way is to measure it out to a dime, or so it's weighed differently. It's not by volume; it's by weight.
Okay.
Everything else is the same, but usually it results in a bit of a stronger cup. So all the hidden flavor, the more subtle flavors, are brought to the forefront, and as a tea taster, you can start to nuance or
In one of your podcasts, your father was given the compliment that he had very good tasting skills.
Yes.
This is something, can it be developed or is it a gift?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think that absolutely you can develop taste buds, mm-hmm. Or at least acknowledge the taste that your buds are receiving. But also it doesn't hurt to have a little bit of a natural knack to it.
And he had the knack.
He had the knack.
Oh, good. When you're tasting tea as an expert, do you, as you would with wine, smell it in the cup? Or do you just take it into your mouth and...
No, you absolutely do smell it. You smell the wet leaves. Okay. You kind of...
Yeah.
Like get in there and smell the cup and... usually don't smell the liquor, the liquid cup, because that's not really going to give you too much.
No, it's the leaves.
It's the leaves that you want to smell more so. You can smell the liquid too, but it's not.
But it's not the same.
It's not the same.
The leaves would be stronger.
Yeah, a much stronger smell.
Okay. And then you take it into your mouth.
And then you take it in your mouth, you slurp it to aerate it, really get it to the back of your throat. Mm-hmm. And then you would, most people would swallow, but if you're doing a large amount of tasting one day, it's a lot of tea.
You'd spit it out. Yeah. Okay. It's very much similar to, I would imagine, as a connoisseur would do wine.
Yeah.
Basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
When you went over to the Plaza in Millerton in 2005, is this when the restaurant opened?
That is, that summer.
Okay, and at that point you were doing what for food service?
I was just doing sandwiches.
And there were, five basic sandwiches?
Five basic sandwiches, all named after family members, which I don't think I mentioned the last time.
You didn't?
But yes, I named, it was Mike, obviously John, Brigitte, Mike, Paul, and Mimi.
Oh, you got your own sandwich.
No.
No?
No. I didn't get my own sandwich. I still don't have my own sandwich. I don't...
You don't necessarily want your own
sandwich. I don't want my own sandwich.
Okay, I got Mike, John, Brigitte, Paul...
And Mimi.
And who's Mimi?
Mimi was Paul's first wife.
Ah, okay. As I knew about two?
Yep.
All right. As you've... worked over the years and you've done the restaurant now for about 12 years, has your menu expanded?
Absolutely. We still offer pretty much most of the original sandwiches with a couple of new additions every once in a while. I actually have a Tegan named after my youngest cousin, Two and Paul's daughter, which is like a vegan banh mi.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really nice and doing really well, and it's a really nice sandwich. But the John is still one of the most popular sandwiches on the menu. It's your basic turkey, cheddar, and mustard sandwich on whole grain bread, and it is still one of the more popular sandwiches. And I feel like that sandwich will probably always stay on the menu.
It's a good wholesome combination.
Yes, it is.
And you use the best quality food that you can get.
Absolutely.
So. I've had the Brigitte, so I know that one.
And the Brigitte, I love that one. And those two are the oldest sandwiches on the menu, I think, right now. But now we offer more than just sandwiches. We make our own soups. We have some hot entrees, like our curry bowl, which is very popular, and then our sliders, which are very popular.
What is a slider?
I still don't know what the actual definition of a slider is. I've noticed that in Irish cooking you see sliders, but I don't think I haven't really followed up on if it's the same thing. But it's a mini burger.
Oh, all right.
Yes. I still don't understand the origination of the term, but
whatever.
But it is little mini burgers. We do want a baguette, bun, and served with salad and cornichon. And
salad and what?
Little pickles, like the French little.
Oh,
pickles.
Okay.
Those are very popular as well.
I would think so. And you do desserts, don't you?
We do desserts. We have a variety of desserts. We have the majority of them are made in-house. One is made by my cousin's grandmother.
That works.
Yeah. And that's the carrot cake by Coco. But we have some really nice desserts that hit most everything. The chocolate bread pudding. We have a coconut rice pudding, which is a vegan dessert. Which, if you tried it, you wouldn't even believe it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Instead of a rice pudding with milk, we use coconut milk, which works.
Works.
With,
yes, it would.
And we use the brown rice that's already on our menu, which I guess kind of justifies that dessert.
Oh,
by
yeah.
Making it a little healthier, more wholesome.
Sure. Sure.
And that's actually that's picking up steam. I was really hoping it would.
Yeah.
Becoming a lot of people's favorite dessert.
Do you develop recipes yourself?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Most of the recipes on the main menu were developed by myself over the years. Like the French onion recipe was developed by me, and everyone loves that French onion that's been raved about, which I have to say I agree.
Naturally.
The reason I made it is because I liked it.
Is it a French onion soup?
It is a French onion soup. And I'll tell you guys the secret ingredient.
Don't.
Oh, don't.
Don't. Okay. Don't. That's going to be secret for you.
I tell people all the time, but it's fine.
That's okay. I wouldn't want to get out. Yeah. I wouldn't want to get...
It's good. It's a very good. I mean, we use very nice cheese as well. And it's just, you can't beat it. We melt the cheese. It's really nice. And now we offer half sizes in soups, which we didn't before, which has been a popular option because now you can actually have like a soup and a sandwich without going
over the top. Yeah, because it tends in restaurants that the portions are so large.
Yeah, our portions were never that large to begin with, but the half French onion soup is like the best size in my opinion.
Yeah, and that it's a nice lunch.
Yeah,
and it's perfect because you've got the liquid, you've got the sandwich, and it's a nice combination, which is. Of course, my favorite, naturally. Yeah. How much staff do you have?
I have 7 staff on average. In the summer, we might add 1 or 2 more people just to handle the influx of business.
And how many can you seat?
In the winter, we can seat about 24, and in the summer, that number doubles.
Because you've got the outside.
Yeah, about 44 in the summer.
And what are your hours?
On average, the cafe is open from 11 to 4. With the exception of Sundays being 11 to 3, because we are open 7 days a week, and that gets tiring.
Oh, that's a hard schedule.
Yeah.
Did you go to the CIA over in Hyde Park?
I didn't, but I had chefs who came in who had gone through culinary schools. One of them, a good friend of mine who now cooks in Napa, was definitely, he went to CIA, and he was definitely a big influence on how I cooked. But I had cooks who went through different varieties of schools that I've learned things from them.
Is it because of they worked at the White Hart or other places that you have worked?
Oh, no, because they came in and worked with me.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
They would come to my restaurant and work, and I would absorb from them.
Learning by doing.
Yep.
And that's the best way.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And lately I've been learning by reading as well.
That helps.
Yes.
But it's nice to have the practical experience because then what you read makes sense.
Absolutely. I have a new book that's my favorite book on cooking, and it makes so much sense based off of the things I've learned from other chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then it takes into account the science of what's actually happening.
I'm just beginning to read James Norwood Pratt's The New Tea Lover's Treasury, and it's fascinating. I didn't expect it to be the history of tea.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very, very well done. I'm enjoying that.
That's good. Actually, I have not read that book. I should probably read that book.
Well, you're in a different field at this point. Are your suppliers local?
I would say a majority of our... As much as can be.
Yeah.
I mean, our produce is coming from New York's... our produce in the winter comes from New York City.
Sure.
But our greens come from 5 minutes from the store. We try to buy from Julie Schroeder over at Sylmar Farm as much as possible.
Schroeder from Sylmar?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And then we do Nodine's ham and bacon. Mm-hmm. Our bread comes from Richard Mountain Bakery up in Housatonic, Massachusetts. I've always loved their sourdough bread.
Oh, yeah. Do you do trade shows?
I do. I do with my wife, usually, my brother and friends, whoever I can get to help us, do direct-to-consumer shows.
Direct-to-consumer shows?
Yes. Those are, rather than trade shows where you're looking for wholesale clients, trade shows where you are doing, you're talking directly to the public. And that's actually an area... that I feel is important, and that's how my grandfather kind of built the company, was going directly to the consumer. While it may seem like a smaller catch in the end of the day,
not necessarily.
I think that it's just as good, if not better, because you're developing
a relationship
with a customer. They now have a face to a company that they never had a face for before.
Yeah, that makes a lot of difference.
Or in a lot of these cases, we have a lot of return customers who are so happy to see us, and then now that I have a daughter, they're even happier.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. She's very cute.
That helps. Oh, yeah. Do you travel?
I do travel. I've traveled to India, China, Japan, and Sri Lanka for tea. Oh, and Taiwan. But the majority of my time has been spent in India.
Do you go by yourself, or do you go with...
I've traveled predominantly with my wife. My first trip was to China, Japan, and Taiwan with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just before I opened the cafe.
Ah.
Okay. That had a lot of influence, even though what I wanted to bring didn't really work here, which was like to bring the Chinese tea house experience here. And I kind of did, but...
It didn't work.
It's not... Not the perfect fit, but there were aspects of it that I brought.
And you have to adapt.
Yeah.
You have to adapt to your clientele. I think I know the answer to this, but what do you like best? Is it making the food? Is it the customers? Is it the tea company? What is it that you like best?
I really just like making people happy. I feel like I did get that from my grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
And whether that's through good food, good customer service, good conversation, or good tea, it's hard to pin down what I like best. But I do like cooking.
That's what
I really
should
do
be.
Like cooking.
Yeah, you'd have to. You'd have to put in those kind of hours.
Yeah.
Do you have a general manager at the cafe, or are you
in? I do. I would say at this point, Jackie is now my general manager for day-to-day things.
And Jackie's last name?
Jackie Brusso.
Brusso?
Brusso, Brusseau.
Another one of those French ones.
Yeah, it's French-Canadian, actually, I would have to imagine.
Yeah.
She's been with us for about 5 years, and she's really taken the mantle.
I've only got two more questions.
Yeah, that's fine. Someone was calling.
Future plans? Anything you want to do with the restaurant?
I would love to see a bigger space for the restaurant at some point. Not too much bigger, but just a little bit bigger.
Maybe 10 seats more?
10 seats more would be great. It doesn't need to expand much more, but I think, because I think it's a good size, but... That's probably about it.
Well, you know, it's modest, but it's doable.
Yeah.
If you get too big, then you're going to lose either the good food, the good conversation, the good customer service, or the good team.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
I don't. It's one of the few, and I think it's one of the few places that where you can get a properly brewed
cup of tea.
Cup of tea,
Oh yes.
For the most part, very good food.
When I go out to a restaurant, I don't order tea. And my friends will say, well, why don't you have a cup of tea? No, they're going to use coffee water. It's not going to be boiled. It's not going to be steeped properly. And they look at me like I'm strange. But there's no point in having a cup of tea that you know isn't going to be properly done.
And that's usually how I feel about steaks when I go out to restaurants.
Yeah, I can understand
that.
You know,
I'm not going to throw that kind of money down if like they're not going to make it the way that I personally like it.
Right.
It's not on them, but it's just like, I personally, there's a way that I like my steak, and nine times out of ten, no one's going to do it right.
Absolutely. Anything that you want to add to this interview before we close? Things that I haven't covered?
I don't know, are we missing anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about the podcasts?
Other than it's been a really enjoyable project, and that it's, I think, the podcast has been a great resource even for within ourselves as a family, to start really getting these stories down. I was just at dinner last night with Emmerich, with my family, because it was Emmerich and Zaz, Elisa's birthday, 87 and 31.
Which is not bad.
My grandmother's memory
is fantastic.
I don't understand how it's so fantastic, because my memory as a 33-year-old is nowhere near as good. She remembers the most random stories. She was telling a great one last night just about how they were in New York City with John, my grandfather John's auntie Mame in New York City, like, who was like a wheeling, dealing bridge player with all these like mafia guys, and she's just driving down in her big car, like looking back. And
oh my.
I was like, I need to get that story too sometime.
Yes. Your podcasts are called As the Tea Steeps.
Yes.
You've put out 5 of them.
There will be a total of 6 for this season. Emmerich and I have not discussed as much what season 2 will be, but we do want to make a season 2.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much.
You're welcome.